I want to comment on the interview that Pope Francis recently did for 60 Minutes. First, as problematic as having a pope doing interviews with international secular media can be, I like the fact that Pope Francis has never shied from speaking with the media. He says things that we wish were clearer or that are taken out of context. He clearly prefers a style that is casual and informal, so we have to interpret what he said and how he said it very carefully. And when we do, I have not found one instance when I thought that what he said was problematic. I want to congratulate the staff of 60 Minutes and especially host Nora O'Donnell for their sensitivity for the topics addressed and their respect for the Pope. Nothing about this interview was sensational, and it was very well done. And Pope Francis said two things that I appreciated him clarifying: no to blessing of same-sex unions and no to the ordination of women to the permanent diaconate. I don't think that these contradict what the Pope has said before. He just hadn't been asked straight up. And what he said in 60 Minutes is what the church teaches. So, is this confusing for some? Maybe. But it is good to know that we have a Pope who believes and teaches what the church believes and teaches. I'm Deacon Pedro, and this is the Salt and Light Hour. Hello and welcome to another all-new Salt and Light Hour. I'm Deacon Pedro, and sitting here with me is Billy Chan.
Hello, enjoying hello, everyone.
Hello, Billy. It's good to see you.
Yeah, especially in the spring. I mean, summer.
yeah, it's spring technically, but well, no, it's still spring kind of weather. A lot of rain.
Yes.
And the plants are all happy with all the rain. Billy, I'm very happy that you're with me today because you've been involved with the Salt and Light Hour for a long time, 7 years, 8 years?
Yeah, very, very long time. I had been in Salt and Light more than 7 years already.
Yeah, seven
so
years.
So yeah, I think it's a little bit more than 7 years.
Yeah, probably. So we've been doing Church for Dummies for a long time, and we've been doing this show now for about 15 years.
Wow.
15 years. So this program is number 572.
Wow. I am very
isn't
old.
Isn't that amazing? You are very old. And of course, we love doing the show. We want to continue doing the show. But we've been thinking about, you know, the show hasn't always had the same format. It's kind of the format has evolved organically as we add segments like Church for Dummies when you came on board, or we used to do news and now we don't do news. But we're thinking about being a little more intentional about changing the format of the show. But we don't want to do that without getting feedback from our listeners in case, you know, there might be some listeners that have been with us for 15 years. And I know, Billy, I know that you and I have asked, sometimes we ask questions or we ask for people to send us feedback.
Yes.
And people, you know, I know that writing to us might be, it's not easy. People are driving and nobody's going to drive and then make a mental note. And then when they stop driving, no, send us an email, right?
You know, if they didn't send, I will say that our show is perfect.
Exactly. That's right. People love the show. The show is perfect. So don't bother sending us. But I'm going to make a special request today.
Okay.
Because we are thinking of changing the format of the show, and we don't want to do that without feedback from our faithful listeners. So if we can bother you to send me an email, a personal email to me when you get home, if you're not at home right now listening to the program, it's pedro@slmedia.org, pedro@slmedia.org. Everybody should have my email because I say it every week. And tell us what you think of the show. Do you like the format? Maybe the interviews are too long, or maybe the interviews are too short. Maybe do you like the topics that we talk about? Do you want more music? Do you like the segments? Do you like Church for Dummies? Do you want to get rid of Church for Dummies? Do you want an hour of Church for Dummies instead of just 10 minutes? What segments do you prefer? There's Church for Dummies. There's Windows to the Soul. There's What I Learned from My Kids. Bookends, Where God Helps, and Into the Breach with the Knights of Columbus. So like, do people want more of that, or do they want less of that? Do they want none of that? I don't know. It would be really great to get your feedback, because we would hate to change the format of the show. And
yes, I love the music. I love the music part.
Okay, good. So that's the first feedback. So do I. So do I. So I do think that we're not going to get rid of the music.
Yes.
But maybe we'll have more music, or we'll spend more time with that featured artist instead of just 10 minutes. So please, please send me a note, pedro@eso.media.org. And if you do, I think that we might be able to send you a little gift to show you our appreciation. So, Billy, you can be the first email, pedro@eso.media.org.
I always email you, always.
Well, I don't know about always, but sometimes. So that's it. Send us your feedback on what you like about the show.
Definitely.
Or what you'd like to be changed. So, Billy, today we're going to stick to our format. Damien O'Connor is going to be with us. And do you know about the Eucharistic pilgrimages that are taking place in the United States right now?
I heard. Is it in New York right now?
Well, so So there are four.
I saw some videos on New York.
It's amazing. There are four routes. One from the West Coast, one from the East Coast. That's the New York one you saw. One from Texas and one from the North, from Minnesota. And they're all going towards Indianapolis to arrive at the National Eucharistic Congress that's going to take place in July. It's amazing. So Damien O'Connor is going to join us to tell us about the Eucharistic pilgrimages that are taking place right now across the United States. It's going to transform the United States. I am sure of that. So that's in about 5 minutes after the song. And then, Billy, you have a question.
I do have a question. I do have a question about the theology of the body.
Oh, I like questions about the theology of the body. Okay.
Yes.
Good. Theology of the
and
body.
And I know you are a professional. Well, you are a professional on this. Yeah.
I don't know. You always make me feel like I know what I'm talking about, and then I have no idea. So that's Church for Dummies, a question about the body in about 15 minutes. And then in our second half an hour, Billy, we're going to be speaking with a deacon, another deacon. Deacon Kevin Cummings. He has an organization called Deacons of Hope, and it's the only self-governing autonomous pro-life ministry group comprised of permanent deacons in the church. And if you have no idea what that means, then that means that you should stick around and listen.
I will.
My conversation. So think religious institute or like religious association, you know, movements. It's the same thing. So that's what Deacons of Hope is. And Deacon Kevin Cummings is going to be with us in about 25 minutes to tell us all about that. And then at the end of the show, we're going to be reconnecting with singer-songwriter Marie Miller. You might recognize Marie because she plays the mandolin. Beautiful folk music with this beautiful mandolin. She's been on the program several times. We last spoke with her in March 2022. At the time, she was working on a new album. And the album is now out.
Nice.
Actually, I think it's out. It's just out yesterday, Friday. The Way of Love. And so we're going to be speaking with Marie Miller about her new album. That's in about 40 minutes at the end of the program. So I hope that people can still be around for that. If not, what should they do, Billy? They should go to our website.
Yes, our website everywhere, though. I mean, you know, like Spotify, everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere. But the best place is our website, slmedia.org. You're a webmaster. So slmedia.org. And then, yes, you can also podcast the show wherever you get your podcasts. So let's start with a song. Marie Miller. Yes?
Go ahead.
I love her music.
Please.
Yeah, so Marie Miller, here she is with Sweet Company from her new album, The Way of Love.
Out of the darkness of my life, frustration and pain, I find quiet red candle and I wait for all of the beauty I've searched for, the romance I'm making to find, the glory and the adventure in humble disguise. I stay, silence will shape words I pray in this holy place. Time and eternity meet, where you and I will keep sweet company. Mm-hmm. my life.
That was Marie Miller with Sweet Company from her new album, The Way of Love. And we're going to be speaking with Marie Miller at the end of the program. So I hope that you can stick around for that. And now it's time for Into the Breach with Damien O'Connor. Damien, welcome back to the Salt and Light Hour. It's good to see you.
It is good to see you, Deacon.
So you've been doing some Eucharistic processioning.
We have. In the United States, as you may recall, we're in the middle of our Eucharistic revival, and we're going to have a Eucharistic Congress in July.
In Indianapolis, yeah.
That's correct. And so in May, a few weeks ago, we launched 4 national Eucharistic processions, which is pretty incredible. I've actually never heard of even one being that long. We have 4. Basically, the 4 corners of the U.S., and there's literally pilgrims processing with our Lord. And they're going to big cities, but they're also going to areas that would never have a Eucharistic procession, that they just don't have the people, and maybe the churches are really small. And so it's just extremely inspiring. And one of them started here in Connecticut, in New Haven.
Okay.
As you may recall, the Knights of Columbus is based here.
Mm-hmm.
And our founder, Blessed Michael McGivney, his tomb is at St. Mary's in New Haven. And what's called the St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Route started here in Connecticut. Very, very exciting.
Yeah, that's great. So I guess the Knights of Columbus are involved in helping this happen, or there are partners throughout the route?
Yes, it's a great question. And so as you can imagine, there's just hundreds of stops along the way. And so rather than assigning knights, we did what we hopefully do best, is we tell our knights to be ready to serve their pastors or their bishops.
I see, of course.
So most bishops, actually really all the bishops, if it's going through their diocese, have set up stops and they requested for help. And that's really best for us.
Yeah.
See need, fill a need. They just ask us and we come and help in any way that they need.
Yeah, I know. Anytime we do Eucharistic processions, it's the knights that are carrying the baldacchino. You know, like that's what the knights do. We need some guys to carry or to drive the truck. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Well, speaking of that, if I may tell just a great story, and I hope you don't mind me sharing this.
No, for sure.
So as you know, there's a canopy that's carried over the monstrance and the... Often it's been bishops so far, but also priests as well, and some deacons, and they have the humeral veil on and they're carrying the monstrance, as you know. So our leader, our Supreme Knight, Patrick Kelly, and his wife, Vanessa, were in New York City this past weekend, and they were dressed casually. He was just dressed, you know, khaki pants, and he had a golf shirt on, but it had a KFC emblem on it. And they, of course, knew that the procession would be in Manhattan that particular day. So they weren't part of the procession, but they, you know, thought, let's go, of course, adore our Lord and just see this. So he happens to be standing right there when the canopy's going by him, and they stopped. And the man that was in the front left side says to Supreme Knight Kelly, "Hey, you're a knight, right?" And he says, "Well, yes, I am." And he said, "Are you fourth degree?" And he said, I am a fourth degree knight. He said, "Listen, I'm getting really tired. Would you mind carrying the canopy for a while?" And he said, "I'd be happy to." And he never said that he was Supreme Knight. And if you look at the CNA, you'll find the video.
That's hilarious.
As I did. And he carried the canopy, the front left side, for an hour and a half and never mentioned once that he was Supreme Knight.
Oh, that's funny.
I absolutely love this about him. And now they found out later, you know, that he...
That's great. Well, then that's it. You know, if you're a knight, wear your polo shirt with the knight logo in the back and someone's going to grab you and call you to service. That's a great story.
And I love it about him. And I'm biased because I work here, but it just shows he's such a servant leader, happy to help. And a brother knight asked him and he said, "Sure."
Funny.
Happy to do it.
That's funny. I'm going to look for that video and photos. Now, is there, this might sound like a dumb question being a knight, but is there a Eucharistic charism, would you say, to the Knights of Columbus or to Father Michael McGivney? Would the Eucharist have been part of, you know, his charism or the spirituality?
It's a great question. So in our founding, there were two things he really was very, very concerned about. Of course, it was support for the wives and children after their husbands had died. But what a lot of people don't understand, or maybe have maybe forgot about, if you look at all his writings and people that wrote about him, he cared deeply about the formation of men too, and as well as their families. And so, of course, the Eucharist is the center of our faith. And so Supreme Knight Patrick Kelly will often say, we are Knights of the Eucharist. So you've probably seen or heard data a lot that said that how many people don't believe in the true presence of our Lord in the Eucharist. But we've also done studies just on Knights of Columbus, and it was in almost 80% do believe in the true presence. So it was total opposite. And so we're very, very devoted to our Lord, especially through the Eucharist. And if I may, we have each jurisdiction that we have around the world. So we have about 77 total. We ask them at the state level to host 3 holy hours a year and to invite anyone in their jurisdiction to come. And we started that about 3 years ago. And I cannot tell you the impact that it's had on countless knights to make it part of their schedules, part of their agenda for these big meetings that they might be having to say, for 1 hour, we're all going to stop and we're all going to pray in front of our Lord. And it's had an incredible impact. And I guess Deacon, we shouldn't be surprised by that. Like it's
No, of course
in the
not.
presence of our Lord and they're encountering him.
Yeah, of course. And it makes sense. And that goes hand in hand with the work that you're doing and helping through the Knights of Columbus, forming men and helping them, like Knights of Columbus aren't just, making pancakes, but they're also praying together, and getting closer to the church and getting closer to Christ. Which is why it makes perfect sense that the Knights of Columbus would be supporting the Eucharistic revival. And I'm so excited about that Eucharistic revival that it's going to transform your country, the United States. I mean, to have our Blessed Lord in the Blessed Sacrament being processed for 2 months
Yeah, it's incredible.
across the country is going to touch so many hearts. That's the renewal right there. Forget about the Eucharistic Congress. I'm just sad that I can't be there to be part of these pilgrimages because transformational, transformational. So.
Absolutely. And you and I said something before we started the got on air, and we were talking about how it's important to keep teaching people.
Yep.
So part of what we're trying to do, and we're going to launch this pretty soon, we created a really simple video teaching people, and I hate to oversimplify this, but what to do at like a holy hour. Like, what do you do? We just assume people know. Like, some are on their both knees, and some are kneeling at other times, some are sitting. There's some prayers, there's some Latin, like, and so we've made a video to not dumb it down, quite the opposite, but for help people to help
That's
people
funny.
encounter our Lord and know, well, what to do, what's going on.
Yeah,
And so
very
we'll
useful. Yeah, is that on
launching
your
that
website?
soon.
Yeah. Oh,
We're going to
it's not.
launch it
You're going to
soon,
launch it
very
soon. Yeah.
soon. Yeah.
Just a funny story as we end. One time I remember taking my kids when they were little, like 5 and 8 years old, and they must have been home that day, and somehow they were with me, and we stopped in to the church because the chapel was open, and at the end of the day, when their mother asked them, what did you guys do today? And my oldest son said, Papi made us sit and stare at the Eucharist forever. We sat and stared at the piece of bread. So it's good to know what we're doing and not just staring, although
That's right.
staring
Amen.
is part of it, I guess. Anyway, thank you, Damien. Thank you for all the work that you and the Knights are doing, especially as it relates to the Eucharist and the Eucharistic revival, and for being with us today.
It's always a pleasure.
Damien O'Connor is Vice President Evangelization and Faith Formation for the Knights of Columbus. You can learn more at kfc.org.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Rubion, and you're listening to the Salt and Light Hour with Deacon Pedro.
Salt and Light TV is available on Roku and Amazon Fire. Go to slmedia.org/plus to find out how to subscribe. And now it's time for
Just for Dummies
with Billy Chan, who has a question about the body.
Yes, I love our name, Church for Dummies, because we always have a lot of questions. As a Catholic, we always need to learn more. Now, today, we are talking about our body again and again and again. But this question I have I really need a good answer for it, and I really need everyone to understand the background as well. So we know that our body is a temple of God.
Mm-hmm.
So everything that we hurt ourselves is actually hurting God as well at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So, and not only God, because we are all bonded together as a church, where we are the body of church as well, right?
Yeah.
So we are hurt. If we hurt ourselves, we also hurt each other. So that's why we got sad when we see something bad happen to other people.
Yes.
Because we also feel it. We are bonded together as one body. So in according to this background, what if somebody say that, oh, I'm not very satisfied with our physical appearance? For example, I don't like my nose is too big.
Okay.
Or my mouth is too small. Or I don't look like a Korean pop singer. Things like that. Okay?
Yeah.
So is it permissible to seek plastic surgery for that? Okay, under our faith.
That's a very good question. And I love that you use the word permissible. Because I've heard other people ask if it's sin, and I don't know if those are necessarily the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So the Catholic Church would never say that it's sin. And you're right, our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. So I think that the general question has to do with, first of all, what is necessary. If you're doing something that's necessary in terms of plastic surgery, breast reconstruction, or if you need you had an accident, obviously,
yes,
those are permissible, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But for a procedure that is not necessary, I think that the question to ask is, are we damaging the good of the body? And that might be a question that we might not agree on, like what is good of the body. So anything that is mutilating the body, obviously cutting off body parts. Some people might, cut off or trim their ears or split. I know, I've heard about people that split the tongue so they can have like serpent tongues. That's mutilating the body. Obviously, gender altering surgeries are mutilating the body. So I don't know if I can say more, because the church doesn't say more about that, but that's really the question. If you look at the catechism, number 2288 to 2291 is a little section about the dignity, respecting the dignity of persons and, of course, of the body. And it talks about respecting health. So I think that we always like, what is healthy for the body? So if you're doing something that is not going to be healthy for the body, then it's probably not permissible, probably not good. You might be doing something that is not necessary, but it's not healthy. So it might be okay. I don't know if that answers the question.
Okay, so let me put you in the corner now.
Yeah.
So how about smoking cigarettes? And how about consuming marijuana?
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's a very good question. The church has been very clear. And in fact, the catechism talks about drug consumption. Mm-hmm. That's number 2291, the use of drugs. Now, I know that our understanding of drugs, especially with legalization of cannabis or certain medicinal drugs, has changed. So I don't know if the catechism will be updated, because the idea of drugs, cigarette, tobacco is a drug. Alcohol is also a drug, and the church would never say that you cannot drink. However, the church will talk about moderation. So is cigarette smoking sin? The church does not say that it is, but it, and I think that here's probably what people need to understand, that something can be sinful objectively, but sin is never objective, because there's always a person that is doing the sin. So it's always subject. So what are the reasons? What are the circumstances around your cigarette smoking? Are you smoking one cigarette every once in a while when you go out with your friends? Or are you smoking 10 packs a day? Are you spending money on cigarettes when you can be spending money on buying food for your family? So it's a larger conversation. So what are the circumstances? I think it is. And you can say that about alcohol, definitely. I don't know if you can say the same thing about drugs, because drugs are harming the body. So to go back with the good, what is good?
I also think that there is a limit. I mean, on that, I mean, there's something we need to care about, is about addiction as well, right? So if if smoking brings addiction to you, marijuana,
and it does,
or other thing, right?
It's the same with alcohol. Same with alcohol, exactly. So, what is this? Is this becoming a problem? And that's what it can become sinful, in that it can get in the way of your relationship with God or your relationship with other people. And if it's harming the body, obviously, an addiction is harming the body. It would be a problem. You just made me think about something about plastic surgery. We also have to be very careful, and this is a sin: vanity. So, what are the reasons? Am I altering my body because I want to look better? I want to, you know, because there's a cult of the body here, and that can be a problem. It's the same with, I think we could say the same thing about tattoos, you know, like it's not sinful for my children to color themselves with a marker. It's not sinful for a woman to put on makeup. But if she's putting on makeup for the wrong reason, because she wants to change her appearance, or she's uncomfortable about her physical appearance, or, you know, like maybe that's a problem, and that the extent you can take that to the extent of plastic surgery, then I think it can.
So the intention plays a lot of role here. Intention, always
I so.
Intention.
I think so. I think so. So what is the reason? And ultimately, is it good? Or is it not good? Is it healthy or is it not healthy?
Yes, yes. Thank you. Thank
Does
you
that
for
answer a question?
It is, I think it is the answer. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, it is. You know, there's a lot of, we did a Perspectives Weekly on tattoos. So that, I believe, is on our YouTube channel at Salt and Light, the Salt and Light TV YouTube channel. But there's, if you people search for Catholic Answers, there's a lot of questions about tattoos, about plastic surgery, about smoking, and I'm sure that there are about drugs as well. So good question, Billy. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Billy Chan, always asking good questions. You can follow him at BJoeChan. Coming up in our second half hour, Deacons of Hope, and we reconnect with singer-songwriter Marie Miller. So stay tuned. Hello and welcome to the Salt and Light Hour Part 2. I'm Deacon Pedro. We all know about orders and congregation of priests and religious in the church, but none exists for deacons. Until now, Deacons of Hope is a self-governing, autonomous, pro-life ministry group comprised of active, permanent deacons in the Catholic Church. Technically, under canon law, Deacons of Hope is a public clerical association of Christ's faithful. And to explain what that means and how it works, I am now joined by the co-founder of Deacons of Hope, Deacon Kevin Cummings. Deacon Kevin, welcome to the Salt and Light Hour.
Hello, Pedro. It's great to be on.
It's good to have you with us. So what is a public clerical association of Christ's faithful?
Okay. It's not something you hear every day.
No.
But it is promulgated by the ordinary, the deacon's ordinary, which is the bishop
the
in the diocese
bishop.
Where the deacon resides. And deacons have to be appointed by the archbishop or the bishop in their diocese to have the Deacons of Hope as a support group within their diocesan ministry. And it's basically registered not only through the Vatican, but in the diocese where it resides as a, let's say, probably the easiest way to say, as an association of Christ's faithful.
Yeah.
The salt priests are designed that way, and many organizations that are clergy in origin, even though we do have auxiliary membership that are lay.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Now, and you're recognized by two dioceses, correct?
Yes, we are, by the Kansas City St. Joseph Diocese in Missouri and the Kansas City Kansas Archdiocese in Kansas.
Okay.
And what we're trying to do is to spread out to other dioceses to propagate what the Deacons of Hope do.
Yeah, and hopefully after listening to this conversation, we're going to have a lot of deacons across the country and in Canada also wanting to learn more and maybe bring Deacons of Hope to their diocese. Just a quick question. The work that you do is diaconal work. I think deacons are doing that kind of work all over the place. Anyway, is there a benefit to being recognized as an Association of Christ's Faithful in that sense?
The benefit is we have worked out a pretty organized, all right, program for deacons who tend to want to focus on one ministry, like we do, pro-life, and women who really need help, pregnant women who need help with an unplanned pregnancy, and they happen to be homeless.
Mm-hmm.
These women need residents to avoid having an abortion or having another abortion. And because of that, the pregnancy resource centers that we have contacted in our greater metropolitan area have told us the thing we need the most to prevent further abortions are resident homes.
Mm-hmm.
And these resident homes need a lot of components, like to be able to feed, to lodge, and to evaluate and bring therapy into the treatment of these women, along with giving them the stability and love of a residential home that is truly Catholic. We have a chapel in ours. We have Eucharist every Wednesday, and we have the Rosary on Thursday and Eucharistic Adoration every day of the week.
Wonderful.
So we have a spiritual element that isn't found in most psychological treatment areas. We count on the Holy Spirit
so
to help us and to guide us.
So you have, in your diocese, you have a home for for young mothers.
We have a home for mothers. It's an 18-bedroom home with just as many baths. It's on 14 acres of property. So we have a farm. We do gardening. We have an orchard. We also have an outreach program where an additional 25 mothers who don't live there come and can receive therapy and food and diapers and things like that. So it's a community service area along with a residence center.
Right. And obviously, it's not just deacons working in this home. So I'm trying to. So did you find in when it all came together that there was a benefit to bringing deacons together in order to get the work done maybe faster or with more authority, maybe?
We found that by bringing deacons together and organizing their efforts, particularly in the parishes where they are assigned and in the diocese where they get their faculties and organization, then we have created an infrastructure in these parishes. And then we can go into the parishes and work strongly within their respect life committees and promote not only financial support, but volunteer support and also angels. Angels are women that have had infants or grandmothers, mothers, and they are assigned to these women the minute they call our hotline. Mm-hmm. And the deacons organize these angels and give them instruction in taking care of these mothers, because these mothers will receive an angel that the minute they call, and that angel will stay with them throughout their pregnancy and after, because these women are able to stay with us in our residence for up to 2 years after they deliver.
That's so wonderful. They
can gain education and training and just motherly advice that can really help them when they came from a broken home or some other existence that didn't give it to them.
Yeah. Now, if I hear you correctly, what you're saying is that a deacon can join Deacons of Hope, not necessarily to do the pro-life work or work in the kind of ministry that you're doing, but that the infrastructure that exists that's provided by Deacons of Hope can help any deacon anywhere to do work they're doing, correct?
Whatever their ministry is, whether it's in a prison ministry or foster child care or in outreach for these predators who victimize people on same-day loans and things like that.
Yeah.
Whatever ministry they are into, this is an organizational skill which helps deacons who happen to share the same ministries.
Yeah.
And so we can talk about it. We can We can accelerate it. We can all benefit from each other's experience because we don't have a lot of time being deacons. We're ordained in our 50s or 60s. So we've got to get some work done before we're done.
Yeah. So there's a beautiful community networking aspect that is cross diocesan that I think it's a beautiful benefit here. Cause for a lot of us, a lot of deacons are doing their work alone, kind of isolated and maybe even in their own diocese. And they're definitely not connecting with deacons across. So if a deacon, let's say in Canada, is listening to this conversation, can they call you?
They can call me directly by going to our website, which is deaconsofhope.org. And they will see my number and also an application to start being a Deacon of Hope. But more importantly, in our bylaws and structure, we also have a way you can set up a satellite or a charter in your own diocese and begin to seek out deacons that are like-minded in certain other, ministries, and they can form and create subcommittees within the Deacons of Hope to better affect the ministry that they're supporting any parish.
If they start their own charter or I guess charter group in their own diocese, do they have to have approval of their local ordinary, or does it?
The local ordinary would like to be advised.
Oh, absolutely.
But both of our ordinaries, Bishop Johnston and Archbishop Nauman, is a huge pro-life advocate in the United States, Conference of Catholic Bishops. They support us 100%.
Yes, yeah.
Both dioceses. And because of that, if the bishops accept it as a good thing for deacons to come together, almost like the deanery model among priests,
then
we come together in camaraderie, we pray for one another, and we help each other so that we don't reinvent the wheel every time we start a new ministry. There's ways to do it and ways to do it better. And we try to promote those.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I hope that this is encouraging to a lot of deacons, and maybe not deacons, maybe other people that might know a deacon or might want to, because you also have associates that can join to support your work.
We have associates that are in parishes that really want to promote, let's say, foster care for children. Mm-hmm. Well, all they have to do is contact their deacon, get him more involved in that ministry.
Yes.
You see,
yeah.
And then that deacon can use the capabilities of the Deacons of Hope to better promote what we already know how to promote.
That's great. That's great. So, and let me just finish by saying that it's a fairly new organization. You have one strong ministry. Sounds like it's amazing what you're doing in your diocese. And you're hoping to grow in your pro-life ministry by building other homes for young mothers or pregnant women.
That's correct.
And we've also
opened a pregnancy resource center on the campus of Benedictine College in Atchison, Kansas. And so we're getting the word out to an early generation, you see, of undergraduates who will also see there's a lot more to do than just send somebody to a resource center. Okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I hope that this is interesting for a lot of our listeners, and that your ministry, I'm confident that it will continue growing, because it definitely has been blessed by the Holy Spirit. Deacon Kevin, thank you for the work that you're doing, and for telling us about it today.
Oh, thank you, Pedro, and God bless you.
You too. You can learn more about Deacons of Hope, as Deacon Kevin said, at their website, deaconsofhope.org. And to listen to this conversation again, in case you missed any part of it, you can visit our website, slmedia.org. Here now is our featured artist of the week, Marie Miller, with Woman, from her new album, The Way of Love.
Went to the well in the middle of day to hide my shame and steal away. Saw him there at the water's edge. My heart so thirsty and so dry. He spoke my name. He sang my life. He said, oh, woman, oh, woman, don't you know you're loved? Woman, oh, woman, you're the heart of God. Oh,
saw him there standing in the light, saying, don't take the living where the dead have gone. I've chosen you to tell everyone. Oh,
that was Marie Miller with Woman from her new album, The Way of Love. Marie Miller has been on our program several times, the last time in March 2022, and it's no secret that we love her folky, country, and pop blend of music, especially with her mandolin. In the last 10 or so years, Marie has released 5 albums, and most recently, one that she was working on the last time that we spoke, The Way of Love. And so to tell us more, I am now joined by Marie Miller. Marie, welcome back to the Salt and Light Hour.
It's great to be here with you again.
It is. It's good to see you. So The Way of Love, it sounds like a silly question, but why love?
No, it's a beautiful question. So The Way of Love is inspired by Saint Therese. So she has a quote that she says, how sweet is the way of love? And she believed that everything that we do should be for love, towards love. And that was her, what many people know as her little way, right? Mm-hmm. Every little thing she did was for love. And when I read that quote, I was like, that's great. I want that to be a song, you know, how sweet is mm-hmm. the way of love. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, so the way of love was that. Yeah, and it seemed simple. And we define love in this world so many different ways, you know, but so maybe just like, I thought it'd be good to bring it back to the basics.
So is the whole album inspired by Saint Therese? Her
it
little
is.
Way?
She's the patroness of this project. And I'm doing live events, musical presentations is what I'm calling them. And it's my music and Saint Therese's teachings and quotes. And
oh,
so,
beautiful.
Yeah. So beautiful. I'm really excited.
Now, were you, I mean, I presume that you, I mean, obviously you already knew about Saint Therese, but did you kind of have to do a deeper dive? Like, was this something that you were, or did you, or do you feel like you're discovering her anew?
Oh, totally. And I'm so blessed to have my PhD candidate sister living near me. And so
that's great.
I didn't, I learned a lot about her, but she did a ton of research on Therese. And so as I was working on this presentation, she was able to find, you know, maybe some quotes that people didn't know, things about Therese. And so it was very exciting. But yes, I love it because I've known about her my whole life, but this is just so good for me to get to know her in a special way.
Okay, so I did not know that. I didn't know that it was inspired by Saint Therese. So I'm a little intrigued by Take Lord Receive, which is classic Saint Ignatius, but also The Woman at the Well. Can you tell us about those two?
Yeah, so I think that Take Lord Receive is just the most beautiful prayer. It's my favorite prayer.
Yes.
And I mean, I connected with Saint Therese because she believed that total surrender to God was the only way to his divine will. And I wonder if she ever prayed that prayer. She might have.
Yeah.
But that was her philosophy, you know, like everything. You give everything up, the smallest things, the biggest things. And then The Woman at the Well, which is my favorite character in scripture, I think. It's my favorite encounter. Hey, I love that. See, we jive. This is great.
I mean, I don't know what you're going to say, but yeah, absolutely. The Woman at the Well, it's like every broken, longing, yearning soul that Jesus just gets to the point. It's like to your heart. And like, I find it so comforting, but anyway, I shouldn't be answering. You should be answering.
No, I agree totally. So The Woman at the Well, I love her so much. And I didn't know this, but I love the Missionaries of Charity. And above every one of their chapels, it says, I thirst, right?
Yes.
So Jesus on the cross says, I thirst for us, for our souls. But in the encounter at The Woman at the Well, Jesus says to her, give me a drink. And this is so profound because what he's saying is that you have something that I want, that, you know, that this is an exchange. And Saint Therese had a great devotion to Jesus and his thirst for us.
Okay.
Yeah. And so actually much of Mother Teresa's devotion to the Lord and his thirst, she got from Saint Therese.
Really? I didn't know that. Wow.
So it's cool. So, and actually Saint Therese wrote a beautiful poem about the thirst for God's thirst for us, which is called I Thirst.
Uh-huh.
And so yeah, so she's just everywhere. She's connected.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's profound. Yeah. And the idea that we have that we have anything to offer Christ to quench his thirst is so crazy and humbling. Did you set out to write this as an album, or did you set out to write it as a musical presentation?
Both, because I was performing at a lot of Catholic events, but I had been doing folk pop music,
yeah.
right? So
yeah.
I always loved connecting with you over the years and other Catholic outlets with my folk music, but it was kind of the Catholicism was in there, but it was, you had to kind of look for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I wanted to make music that was just for Jesus and totally, obviously, you know, for him, and to do these presentations, because yeah, I just kind of was tired of singing about myself. I'm like, I want to sing about something a little bigger than me. And yeah, so this project, and it's only 5 songs,
mm-hmm.
but they're very important in the live events. They're kind of the main music for the live events.
I was going to ask you, but you kind of answered already. Would you say that then that's the one thing that's different about this album, that it's very, very obviously a Catholic album in the way your other music hasn't been?
Yes. So it is. And I mean, the Saint Therese is the main theme for the first song. The second song is called Among These Rocks, which is about Our Lady.
Yeah.
As St. Ignatius' prayer and Sweet Company is about the Eucharist. So yeah, I mean, it's just, and I didn't set out to say like, I'm going to write a Catholic album. I said, I want to write about who I love and what I love. And as I've gotten older, just the Lord has like called me closer to himself. And so this came very natural to me to write about him in the Eucharist, to write about Our Lady, to write about St. Therese.
Yeah, which makes sense. It's interesting how you're obviously always writing about where you are in your life. So it makes sense that the older we get, the more profound our writing gets, hopefully for most of us. But to see that maybe you needed to get through the previous writing, you know, all the other wonderful music that you've written to get to this point, that maybe do you feel like maybe you're being called to something a little more specific with your ministry or your music?
I definitely do. I really do. I have loved playing folk festivals. I've loved, I've called it holy leisure. You know, that's what I've tried to bring to the world, a time of rest where they could listen to music and just relax. And that's kind of the way that I've written music. But I do not feel called to that anymore. I feel like this album will be the beginning of probably the rest of my music, in the sense that I'm going to talk about heavy things, but transcendent things, and hopefully will lift people out of the world, you know, and their broken hearts. That, you know, I have, the only thing that is going to save us is the Lord. So why beat around the bush?
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think, and don't take this the wrong way, the sound hasn't changed. Like, it's still very classic Marie Miller. And I think that that's also speaks, you know, people might not be listening to the lyrics, or although I think that we do, even if we're not paying attention, but you're speaking, it's a much deeper message because of how the music supports what you're saying with the words.
Yeah.
Are you already then working on the next project?
I would love to. I need to get funds for that.
Yeah, right.
Yes, financially, no. But no, I mean, it's so interesting that you said this sounds like me, because I worked with, so kind of the success that I've had, which has been a great gift, so I've been able to perform for full time, you know, it's the only thing I do, were 2 songs, You're Not Alone and 6 Foot 2, that were released about 10 years ago, which you know.
Yeah.
Thank you for playing those. And the engineer, Joe Williams, was the producer. So the guy that engineered 6 Foot 2 and You're Not Alone produced The Way of Love, the whole
Okay.
album.
Yeah.
And then Paul Mabry, who is produced Lauren Daigle and is kind of a big wig now, he produced You're Not Alone and 6 Foot 2. So he played drums on all of it. And so this is it was a return in so many ways to that beginning. So it's kind of cool that you said that, because you're
Yeah,
right. It's
interesting.
profoundly my the same.
Yeah. 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 Much deeper, much more profound, a much deeper Marie Miller in a different place in her life, but at the same time coming back to your roots. That's so beautiful, Marie. And I do hope that you get the financing. So we're going to make sure a lot of people are listening and downloading music and going to all these musical presentations so they can support your ministry, so that we can get some more wonderful music from you. It's always good to chat with you, Marie.
Thank you. So good to talk to you. Thank you so much for everything.
You too. God bless. You can learn more about Marie Miller and download The Way of Love at her website, mariemillermusic.com, and also on all music streaming platforms. And you can also find Marie Miller on your social media. Here now to take us out is Marie Miller with The Way of Love from her new album of the same name.
The roads these feet have seen, miles and miles of wandering, searching for glory. Hoping that would stop the ache. The places I have been to know, to find out who I am, searching for more affirmation to placate my shame, thinking that would make things change. You pour
to Marie Miller with the title track of her new album, The Way of Love. And that will take us to the end of the program. Remember that if you missed any part of the program, the best place to listen to the Salt and Light Hour is at our website, slmedia.org/podcast. But you can also listen to the program anywhere as a podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. And remember that we are considering changing the format of the show, and we want your feedback before we do that. Write to me, pedro@slmedia.org, pedro@slmedia.org, or reach out to me on your social media. Let us know what you like, what you don't like, what you would like changed. We really, really value your feedback. Let's continue to pray for peace in Ukraine and in Israel and Palestine and in so many places where there is conflict. And let's also pray for a Eucharistic revival, and that the Blessed Sacrament will bring renewal all over as it is processed throughout the United States. Let's also pray for single mothers and women going through difficult or unwanted pregnancies, and for the work of Deacons of Hope. Let's pray to St. Therese for these intentions. Thank you for being with us today. I'm Deacon Pedro, and this has been the Salt and Light Hour.